Peter Thomas Fornatale back with you with a special presentation from In the Money Media. We don't get to do this often. It's a birthday show we're doing for our friends at Assiniboia Downs. Peter Thomas Fornatale back in the Brooklyn bunker, recovered from Saratoga almost, but getting right back into action to celebrate this 66th birthday tonight. We're going to be looking at the late pick four. And to do it with me, we bring in a man with some institutional expertise. He and the team were absolutely on fire last week. We'll see if we can keep it going. Kurt Contois, welcome back to the In the Money Airwaves. How are you, my friend?
I'm excellent, Pete. Ready for another week of racing, Monday, Tuesday, and of course, Wednesday, and a beautiful week so far.
Love to hear it. I'm a big Winnipeg fan. I've actually never been, but I did a series of books with a proud son of Winnipeg, though he was actually born on Long Island, same hospital as me, actually, because his dad was playing on the New York Rangers at the time. I can only assume you know who Chris Jericho is.
Oh, most definitely do. Yeah, Chris Jericho actually, he lives in our part of Winnipeg, or used to.
Yes, I think he's Tampa mostly these days, and obviously traveling around the world with the rock and roll and the wrestling. But I feel like just from hearing his stories, I have a pretty keen sense of place in Winnipeg. I will admit, I'd never heard, Kurt, of anyone having to plug in their car before I met people who lived in Winnipeg.
Well, there's no doubt about that. Our winters get a little bit of chill. And if you don't plug it in, you're not going anywhere.
Yeah, and we're not talking about electric cars here.
No, not at all. You need that block heater. Keep that oil moving instead of freezing solid.
Kurt, you guys crushed it last week. The numbers were good. What were the vibes like around the place?
Oh, they were really good. Wagering was just over the moon last week. Averaged about $1.5 million a day. And in the pick four, we're averaging over $100,000. So if you can get a little bit of an oddball sequence, you're going to get paid. There's no doubt about it.
We love to hear that. For folks who aren't familiar with the product, how would you characterize it? I mean, one of the things that I noticed right away, we always love tracks as real horse players. We love tracks that run at times when other tracks don't, right? And starting tonight's card, for example, starts at 8:30 Eastern, runs race seven, goes at about 11:05. That's one thing notable about it. But how do you like to characterize the ASD product for people who are new to it?
Well, we've put it in a position where the less competition, the better. We are not a Santa Anita. We're not a Keeneland, Gulfstream. We're little Assiniboia Downs in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. And once COVID hit, we positioned ourselves on the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And of course, it was an absolute hit. And we kept with it. And the great thing is, people that joined us and got to enjoy our product during COVID, they've stuck right with us. And it's made us highly successful and much more noticeable in the racing world.
I think that's well put. One thing I'm very excited about for horse racing in the new gambling landscape is that idea of racing as something to fill in all the other gaps in the potential wagering calendar. When you can run when other people aren't running, that's a huge advantage. And the racing is good. People are going to recognize a lot of these pedigrees. You've got loads of Kentucky breds and Florida breds and horses, you know, that you're going to recognize in these pedigrees. And the racing itself, it's bread and butter stuff, but in the best possible way. I mean, these are races that if you like North American dirt racing, you're not going to have a lot of trouble making the adjustment. Do you think that's fair to say?
Oh, definitely is. And you don't get a lot of the shippers coming in. So when you're at the bigger tracks, you got shippers coming in from absolutely everywhere and even overseas. So trying to make sense of those into your handicapping, that throws a huge wrench in it. Ours is a little bit more stable. Yes, we have horses coming in, but they stay. They don't just ship in and ship out. So it makes it easier to get to know them and know their style, because it is all about the style. Yes, the jockeys can change it whenever they want, but for the most part, their styles stay the same. So it's handicappable, and you can kind of pick your long shots that way a little easier.
I think that makes a lot of sense when you've got that known form, and we're getting to that point in the Me Too where that's starting to reveal itself a bit more. And I think that's a fair point. When one way also, I believe, as a horse player to get an advantage these days is to specialize. Now, look, I understand the computer bettors who make up a lot of the smartest part of the market. They are playing everywhere. But I feel like one of your best shots to get an edge against those guys is if you were to specialize a little bit in a circuit and get to know the nuances of how the track is playing from night to night and the nuances of trainer patterns and try to find things that aren't there in just the absolute raw data. Those are some of the insights I've heard from you before on these airwaves and on the air out there, and something I would encourage players to check out.
Yeah, and I noticed that the other day. They bet a horse that had won 5 in a row, and it was moving up 2 levels, and they bet it off the board. And I'm sure that was the computers going with the buyer numbers and everything. But that is an insane jump here, where you would bet a horse like that at maybe 5 or 6 to 1. It ended up going off at 1 to 2. And yes, it did get beat in the end. Never had a great trip, but there was no way it was going to beat the winner. But that's the difference between knowing our racetrack and not knowing it and just going by numbers. And I didn't even have that horse in my top 3.
Great stuff. Yeah, when you obviously the opportunity to bet with confidence against an odds on shot, you're going to be able to turn the odds in your favor. Hey, sometimes they'll win and kick sand in your face anyway, but gosh, when the 1 to 2 shot should be 5 to 1, you're ahead of the game.
Oh, definitely. Especially when they bump up your prices on the horse you actually like. Besides that, it's a great thing when you're expecting 7 to 2 and then you end up getting 7 to 1 in the end.
No doubt about it. Let's dive in to this pick 4.
All right.
It starts in race number 4. We've got fillies and mares, $5,500 claimers, going 5.5 on the dirt. What were you looking for in here? On the morning line, in my cursory glance, you could have made a case that it was a bit of a match between the 1 SC Angel and the 5 Racino, but the more I looked, maybe there were some others you could pull in at a little, not Racino, excuse me, the 4 Miss Z.
Yep.
But as I looked at it more, there were others you might be able to pull into the mix here. Who did you end up going for?
Well, you could look at the 1 and 4 and say they can run around the track together, but you can also look at it that they're going to bang heads and drag each other down and set up for a closer, which that's the kind of way I'm going to the closer angle. And I went to number 6, Kim's Texas Bling. Great year last year, winning 4 races. Has won 5 out of 15 here at Assiniboia Downs. Has a great workout tab. 4 consecutive 5-furlong races. And if that 1 and 4 do battle it out, Kim's Texas Bling likes to sit about 4 lengths, maybe 5 lengths off of it, and has a really good kick down the lane. Wendy Anderson has started off really well. So I really like this horse, and you get a top jock in Antonio Whitehall.
Good case for sure. I tipped my hand there. I was taking a look at another horse to maybe be able to close and get a piece in the form of number 5, Racino. Big question here with the 245-day layoff, but I was going to ask you if that bullet work tipped the hand that maybe she's ready to come back running. She's got a pretty nice career mark, makes what looks like it might just be a positive barn switch. No offense to the previous connections, but just looking at numbers, would you give her any shot to get into the money?
Oh, without a doubt. Hastings horses do very well at our track over the last 10 years. And this one also has a really nice running style. It's a stalking style, not too far away. And if that 1 and 4 bang it out, this horse was entered the other day, but scratched. And it was a Stewart scratch, not a vet scratch. So you didn't have to worry about that. But Wendy Anderson does really well first time with these new ones that she does have. And there's a pile of works under the belt. And that is a flashy one coming in that 0.5 mile.
In terms of your pick 4 ticket, are you willing to take a stand here and stand alone with Kim's Texas Bling, or would you want to bring in some other numbers?
Oh, no, I'm using Miss Z with it because she's a former class 1. SC Angel, even though the drop, I am not going to use her today. And I'm going to go with 4, 5, and 6, actually.
Okay, there you go. There you go. I like the sound of that. in terms of your pick four construction, do you ever grade horses into A's and B's, or are you, with only four legs in the sequence, do you play it a little bit more old school?
I do it old school. I usually a couple ticks. I like to have a key somewhere and then do a little bit of spreads, because where I get caught up is my fifth choice that I do like. I try and keep the price down, and that's usually what gets me. You save $25 and it costs you about $1,200. Which, you know, in the end,
we can all relate to that.
It's good for grabbing the boot and kicking yourself after.
Let's move on to the second leg in the sequence, my friend. $7,500 claimers. We're going 7 furlongs on the dirt. And this was one where on Timeform US had the pace projected as being kind of slow here, favoring horses on the front end. That would make it even harder, I think, for the closers to get involved with the likes of Far Beyond and Side Street. Dave, is it one of those two you're interested in, or do you see it a little bit differently, where maybe they can hit a little bit up front and we can pull in something at a bit more of a price?
Well, the vets just came in about 5 minutes ago, and unfortunately, number 5, Far Beyond, is a late scratch. Well, it's an early scratch, but late to you coming to the party.
Yeah, I hadn't seen that. Well, that's going to be very, very advantageous, I would think, for Side Street Dave in that instance.
Yeah, that'll definitely help him. But the one thing about when jockeys see this, Side Street Dave is post position number 4. He had a huge advantage last time being on the inside out of post 2. Even though these horses don't have a lot of speed, I expect the one horse to launch out of the starting gate, because at 7 furlongs at Assiniboia Downs, that first turn is so quick and tight. It's a huge advantage to be on the inside. And if you can get away out of that gate, you hang everybody out, and that first quarter, slow it down, and you could be gone and win it in the first quarter mile. So Side Street Dave, do I like the horse? Yes. But I could not bet it at under 5-2, even with the scratch.
Gotcha. Well, that's good to know. Anybody besides the one? Who else would you want on your tickets in here?
Actually, on my ticket, I am pushing the all button.
Okay.
I'm taking the safe way out, but the horse that is going to garner a little play for me is number 6, Last Renegade. This horse ran absolutely huge for 7,500, sprinting first time, 5 furlongs. The comeback race got a little shuffled, ran evenly, but was too far back to even get a piece of it, as all the speed ended up running away, and the one rallier did come third. But Last Renegade is way better going around 2 turns than 1. So I expect Neville Stevenson to launch, get a good position with it only being a 5-horse field. But I expect this horse to improve. And if it runs that first race, this is a horse that's going to be about 6-7-1 with that scratch. It drops the morning line. But this horse can run absolutely huge.
So I'm going to list it in the picks that we send around as the 6 as your top one. The 1, definitely another one that you're particularly interested in, but back up with the other 3, essentially. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, and even number 3, Watch the Music. That horse ran a really good inside race last time out and tired just before the 16th pole, and everybody went by. I expect that horse to move forward off that race. And if it does, it made a really nice move in there. And if it makes that same move, another good long shot in there. That's why I had to hit the all button. I could see the right race for any horse in this field.
Not a place you need to take a stand if you've got strong opinions elsewhere. The sequence continues with race number 6. I was talking about how we did have some familiar breeding. I will admit not being as familiar with the Manitoba bred program. You're going to have to coach me up a little bit on what to expect in terms of the breeding and the form in this one. $7,500 claimers going 5.5 on the dirt. Who are you expecting to get the money?
Well, there's a little mix in here. 3 fillies, 4 boys, but I think it's all about the girls in here. Cuss and Cat taking a massive drop from open allowance non-2, and she had to hook up with 2 other horses last time. And they just banged her into submission. She was 3 wide and then started tiring. and then got into a little trouble down the lane. So it looks a lot worse than she did run in there, but she has a huge shot to go wire to wire because nobody in this field has her kind of speed. And also number seven, Mobile Creek, little three-year-old filly. She ran good last time out. It doesn't look that good, but just the horses she ran against are so much better than these. Got into some trouble with Cussing Cat. Those were the two horses that kind of bumped around the eighth pole, and Mobile Creek ran on. I expect the horse to get a little more out of that race. And Mike Taphorn, he's good at adjusting. He's a 25-30% win clip type of trainer. And when he adjusts on his horses, it's usually for the better. The six will be taking all the money in here, but I like the seven at a little bit of a price, so I'm taking really those two.
Makes sense to me. Cussing Cat makes a lot of sense to me. Has the back stakes form against the Manitoba Breds. But the key thing for me is just the fractions, the early interior fractions, the last 2 days, now second off the layoff. She's just supposed to run better. And as you point out, just a massive difference in class, no matter what kind of numbers or ratings you're looking at from that run 14 days ago and what she's going to be facing here. We'll see how it plays out in that six race. And then we get to the pay leg where we go into the allowance ranks. We're going 6 furlongs on the dirt. We've got a field of 7, unless there was a scratch I missed, a field of 7 going postward. When it comes to this pick 4, my friend, how are we going to get paid?
Oh, I'm going single in here. I went to number 2, Chicago's Gray, ran a big race last time out, dueled for about 3/8 of a mile, easily got the front end, and then got a little leg weary about 3 jumps before the wire, and then the 5, Brody Streak, who hugged the rail all the way around, ended up getting that win. But the key here is trainer Lise Pruitt. In the first 2 weeks, she sent horses out. They kind of disappointed, but she came full a run last week on the horse's second starts. She ended up winning 3 races last week, including with Melisandre, the older mare's stake, Yellow Birdie, the one that Mike liked. That horse came back to win, and Explosive won the older boy stake. So she's got horses firing on their second start that really didn't do much on their first, and Chicago's Gray ran a huge race first time out, got a little tired. It moves forward just a little bit. They're going to have a real tough time catching Chicago's Gray.
I love that other info about the form of the yard. I was already with Chicago's Gray. Just looking at the interior fractions of that last race, that middle part of the race was really quick, just emptied out a bit late, beaten by one who had a perfect trip. I was originally thinking of running at 2.5, but based on your say-so here, I think I'm going to single Chicago's Gray in the last, and hopefully we can get the money on this Monday night card. Kurt, really appreciate you coming on the show today. We'll be watching you on the simulcast later. Anything else that we need to tell folks about this card or the program coming up from you guys?
Well, if they ever want to get a little extra insight before we start, we do ASD Live, myself and Stretch, at 6:45 Central Time. We are between the races also, but you can get a little insight there. It is on YouTube, and we do adjust as the day goes if there is any biases. So I think that me and Stretch are usually on top of it, and of course, I always pick more winners than Stretch.
I do enjoy your rivalry. That's a good part of the broadcast. When you mention biases, is there anything in particular you have a look at, or is it just like most tracks these days where you just have to pay attention and sometimes the rail's good and sometimes the rail's bad? But what are you looking for specifically when it comes to bias at ASD?
That is exactly it. Our rail is always golden. It's the shortest trip around the racetrack. If you can stay on the fence, it is such an advantage here, even for the turn for home. But sometimes they seem to get bogged down. I don't know if there's a little extra dirt there, what it might be. But we can tell that those horses aren't rallying the way they should. And sometimes we get real speedy, meaning you go to the front and horses last a lot longer than they should. So we pick up on that. And because our horses, for the most part, they run to form. So it seems to be a little bit easier to do that. And we've been pretty successful picking up on it early. So it's good to keep in contact and not kill the volume in between races. It's just those little things can really help you out in your gambling. Whether we pick it or not, you might see it a different way than us. A different horse go to the front. Speed's doing good. Horse goes wire to wire. And then it's payday for you.
Check it out on YouTube. While you're over there, go ahead to our In the Money media page and subscribe for us. We got a lot of recap Triple Crown content coming up in short order and a bunch more fun stuff as well, including a new show. Well, really not a new old show, the return of Horse Player Happy Hour this week. We're going to be doing that on Thursday, but want to thank you, Kurt, and our friends at Assiniboia Downs. Really happy to have you guys in the fold here within the Money Media, and we'll see you on TV tonight.
Awesome, Pete. Thanks a lot. Glad to be on.
Thanks one more time to Kurt. Thanks to everybody out there for listening. May you win all your photos.